What is up, Cubulus family? Welcome back to another edition of Ball Street, the Cubulus Stock Exchange. I'm Brett Ford, flying solo this evening as neither Chris nor Eric could join me on the pod. But that's all right. We'll make the most of it. We'll knock these out pretty quick, and then we'll let you get on with your day. Hopefully, your fantasy week six went as well as mine. A lot of players had good weeks for me. Rostered Devon Achane and Drake London in a lot of places. So had a really good week and was really excited about the fantasy action that went down. Unfortunately, speaking of action going down, a lot of players went down as well. A lot of injuries in week six. Let's cover all of those right now. Starting with running back, Blake Corum, Los Angeles Rams running back, went down with an ankle. And Arizona Cardinals running back Amari DiMercato also down with an ankle. For the Rams, really, that probably just means more consolidated touches for Kyren Williams. We'll get to more injuries with the Rams here in a minute, a very significant injury for the Rams here in a minute. But more consolidated touches in LA. For the Cardinals, Bam Knight and Michael Carter pretty much split that backfield in week six after Carter was certainly the top running back in week five without James Conner and Trey Benson. So now with DiMercato down, expect more of a split, and maybe we see Greg Dortch get involved, maybe not necessarily in the running game, obviously, but on those short, like the screen passes, those line of scrimmage passes that are an extension of the running game. Don't be surprised if Dortch's number is called more often than we've seen previously. Jumping into wide receiver, we go to the Los Angeles Rams, where star Puka Nacua went down with an ankle in week six against the Ravens. He did not return to that game and could be out for multiple weeks. The Rams do have a bye week coming up, so don't be surprised if we see Puka sit for week seven, rest during the bye, and then maybe come back week nine, week 10. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an injury specialist, but I feel like that would be the most likely scenario, is that we see Puka miss at least one more week. And that'll consolidate touches in Los Angeles. We've seen the Rams play without Puka, without one of their stars previously. And really that just means that they force feed the other guys. So Kyren Williams, Devontae Adams, they're probably in line for even more targets and more touches than they have been in the past. So those are two guys that I'm really excited about in week seven until Puka gets back. Another wide receiver, another stud wide receiver down, Emeka Egbuka with a hamstring injury in Tampa Bay. Sterling Shepard, Tez Johnson, Cameron Johnson, the role players kind of picked up the slack in an X-Men up mentality. Tough to say who gets the most run moving forward. It felt like Tez Johnson and Cameron Johnson were in more of a rotation, where Sterling Shepard was on the field quite a bit. Another guy to watch for in Tampa Bay is Cade Otton. Cade Otton always seems to be the beneficiary of wide receiver injuries there. When we've seen Godwin and Evans missing in the past, it's been Otton who stepped up to have big games. So don't be surprised if the Buccaneers tight end gets a little bit more touches this week with Egbuka missing. DJ Moore, this is an interesting scenario. Moore stayed overnight in Washington after their Monday Night Football game with the Commanders. With what is being reported as a groin injury. Obviously, we don't want to speculate. Ben Johnson called it personal, so it could be some sort of hernia, torsion, some soft tissue that we'll just let the experts handle that. But either way, DJ Moore could miss time. That opens the door even further for someone I'm really excited about, rookie wide receiver Luther Burden, who coming out of the bye week in week six was more involved, led the Bears with four receptions on Monday night. So Luther Burden, definitely someone who we could be interested in on waivers and moving forward. Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Cardinals also left that game with a concussion. We saw Zay Jones step up in his absence. He's a guy that could be available on a lot of waiver wires also as an injury replacement. In Las Vegas, Tennessee Titans wide receiver Calvin Ridley suffered a hamstring injury. The Titans fired Brian Callahan in what we can only assume was non-related. But the Titans leaned a little bit heavier into Chimere Dike, who's a guy that could see elevated targets. Obviously, Elik Iomanner is there as well. So a lot of questions in Tennessee. Mike McCoy taking over as the interim head coach. We'll see what happens with the Titans. Dontayvion Wicks left the game for the Packers with an ankle injury. We saw Romeo Doubs and Matthew Golden each see increased snap counts. And oh, by the way, Jaden Reed is eligible to return from IR here soon. So a lot of mouths to feed in Green Bay, as always. We'll see how that shakes out. And then the last wide receiver on the injury report, Juwan Jennings. Everything hurts for Juwan Jennings. He's got allegedly 5 broken ribs and a lot of other stuff going on. So really for the 49ers, whoever's left healthy, I mean, it's going to be CMC and whoever else is healthy. Kittle could be coming back very shortly, as soon as maybe week 7. We'll see. There's also Ricky Pearsall, who might be back, might not be back. Brandon Ayuk is hurt. Kendrick Bourne is there. He's shown a lot of chemistry with Mac Jones. So we'll see how the 49ers attack things. Jake Tonjes has been great in Kittle's absence. We'll see if they go heavier with 12 personnel. It's going to be curious to see how Kyle Shanahan operates that offense with all of the injuries that they've suffered. And some of the guys starting to come back from injury. It'll be a very interesting balance. Moving on to tight end, we had a couple of tight ends in the AFC North, actually. Both suffer injuries. David Njoku went down with a knee. Mike Gesicki looks like his season might be over with a torn pectoral. In Cleveland, it looks like Harold Fannin Jr. is going to get some extended run, which will be great for Dylan Gabriel because he doesn't like to throw the ball farther than 5 yards. So running backs and tight end targets are heavily on the table there. And then in Cincinnati, we saw Drew Sample. You know, they have a ton of tight ends. They have Tanner Hudson. They have Drew Sample. They have Noah Fant. At the end of the day, it's probably just going to be more consolidated touches for Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. But as yet to be seen with Flacco under center, we'll see how they do against the Steelers this coming weekend. That does it for our injuries in week 6. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, Ball Street will talk about stock down players who are interested in buying low. Welcome back to Ball Street, the QBList stock exchange. Buy low, sell high. That's business on Ball Street. I'm your host, Brett Ford, here without Chris. Eric couldn't fill in this week either, so flying solo. And that's all right. We're rocking and rolling, getting through these names, talking about guys who had a rough week 6, whose stock has fallen. And we'll start at the quarterback position. And this is the most obvious place to start. It's New York Jets quarterback Justin Fields. Fields had an infamously bad day in London, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where the Broncos defeated the Jets, and Fields finished the day. And I'm sure you've heard this soundbite before. He finished the day with negative 10 net passing yards. He was sacked 9 times. He lost 10 more yards on those sacks than what he threw for in that game. It was gross. It was his second game this season with less than 50 passing yards. But he still has three top 7 finishes this season because of his rushing upside. Everything is so volatile with the Jets right now, and I'm probably just staying away from the entire offense as much as I can, including Fields, even though he has a chance to get a top 12 finish again this week. Who knows what'll happen there. Don't be surprised to see Fields bounce back, especially with his rushing floor. But the Jets need to do a better job of protecting him. 9 sacks is unacceptable for any NFL team, and it's just not going to end well if you can't keep your quarterback upright. Another quarterback whose stock dropped this week is Justin Herbert. Herbert has now not finished as a top 10 QB since week 1. 5 straight weeks, his QB rankings or QB fantasy ranking has gone 18th, 12th, 20th. 20th and 14th this past week. So starting in week 2, he hasn't finished as a top 10 QB in 5 straight games. That's a tough look for Herbert, who looked like an MVP candidate after week 1. He looked outstanding against the Chiefs and has since dropped off. Although, you know, his receivers, he's still carrying, you know, three potential top 30 receivers in Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey, and Quentin Johnston. Now, QJ was out this week. We saw McConkey pop because of it. But Herbert, you know, with his offensive line in shambles, you know, the running game, Omarion Hampton goes down, he's hurt. Kamani Vidal looked fantastic. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, Herbert, you would think with the Chargers relying on their third and fourth string running backs that they would lean into the passing game a little bit more. But Herbert just hasn't been that great since week one. We'll see if he can turn it around in week seven, but his stock right now is a little bit lower than it has been recently. Some concerns at running back this week. We moved to Pittsburgh where Jaylen Warren has seen his stock drop. Now, you say a Pittsburgh running back, Arthur Smith system, you know, these are the guys that made Kenneth Gainwell fantasy relevant. Why is Jaylen Warren stock dropping? Well, because he had a reduced snap count and a reduced carry share and only had one target in the Steelers game this past weekend. And Caleb Johnson is coming, guys. I'm telling you, Caleb Johnson had his highest snap share of the season this past week. Granted, the touches still aren't quite there yet, but don't be surprised if we see an expanded role for Johnson as the weeks progress. He's an outstanding running back in college, and against the Bengals in week seven, it's going to be a homecoming for him. Johnson grew up in Cincinnati, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Steelers try to involve him heavily and maybe pander to his crowd a little bit, try to get the rookie going. If there's any game that they could do that, it's against Cincinnati in week seven. We move on to Seattle, where Kenneth Walker III had his lowest snap percentage of the season, only on the field for 35% of snaps. He only carried the ball 10 times. He only had one target. He is ceding so much work to Zach Charbonnet right now, and it just doesn't pass the eye test. Charbonnet has not looked as good as Kenneth Walker III so far this season, and yet Charbonnet is on the field more often, and you know, they're splitting time in what has become an inexplicable fantasy situation. A lot of people, myself included, were in on Kenneth Walker III coming into this season. And so far, the Seahawks have not used him in the way that fantasy managers would like. So his stock continues to tumble. We'll see if he can get on the field more often. We'll see if he can get more touches moving forward in week seven and beyond. Moving on to wide receiver, we look at Chicago, where Rome Odunze had a little bit of a down week. Only two catches, and it might not be because the Bears are moving away from him so much. It's that they had this gradual emergence of Luther Burden and Colston Loveland. You know, they spent this massive draft capital on pass catchers to surround Caleb Williams with, obviously Odunze included last year. But this year, adding two more of them, and those guys have been more integrated after the bye. Williams has done a great job of spreading the ball around. When I say great job, not a great job for fantasy managers, but a great job in, you know, real life offense, in the Ben Johnson offense. He's done an excellent job of moving the ball around, getting different guys involved. Now, not what you want as a fantasy manager, but for real life football, the Bears offense looked pretty good. Now, they could use some red zone efficiency, a lot of field goals last night, and I'm sure Ben Johnson will preach that moving forward. But Rome Odunze is one to watch. If he continues to, if the Bears continue to spread the ball around, Odunze could be a guy that we sell high on here in the next week or two if we continue to see Williams just distributing to everybody. And last with the stock down, this guy, unfortunately, is tied to Justin Fields and the New York Jets offense. It's Garrett Wilson, an elite talent, excellent hands, just a physical specimen. But the Jets are just gross right now. The Jets offense is not good. The Jets play calling is not great. The Jets clock management is horrendous. I don't know if anyone saw the fake punt and then nothing on Sunday, but that was one of the most confusing coaching decisions or indecisions of the season. So if you get a chance, watch that. Watch the breakdown of that. It was fascinating. So we move on from guys who've had their stock fall into guys who we might be interested in buying low on, who might continue to see their stock rise in the coming weeks, whether they're already, you know, had a couple down weeks and we're looking to bounce back, or they're just undervalued and we're looking for them to do more in the coming weeks or to continue their success in the coming weeks. We'll start a running back where I am looking to buy low on Javonte Williams, Dallas Cowboys starting running back. We watched him do nothing for Dallas against Carolina last week, 13 carries, 29 yards. Didn't look great. We've got CeeDee Lamb coming back. So maybe some fantasy managers will be looking at that and saying, usage is going to go down with Lamb back, and they're going to start passing the ball even more. But the Cowboys offense is going to stay explosive. All right. They're scoring a lot of points. They're going to continue to do so. And I want pieces out of this offense. If the Javonte Williams manager is selling and looking to, you know, sell high on Williams' performance so far this season, expecting some sort of drop off, I'm buying, man. I'm here for it. So if I can get Javonte Williams for, you know, a low end RB2, RB3 type guy, or maybe even like a wide receiver 3 flex type guy, I am 100% doing that. I don't know what exactly the market is for him right now, but, you know, for me, he's a low end RB1, high end RB2. He's pretty much a lock button in my starting lineup every week. And I'd be happy to acquire him if the manager that currently has him is looking to capitalize on his early season success. At wide receiver, Cortland Sutton had his second one reception game of the season against the Jets. Now, granted, he is marked by Sauce Gardner for most of the game. Sauce Gardner has had an outstanding season so far. Not so much in his stats, but just opposing quarterbacks aren't throwing in his direction. So Sutton was mostly ignored as the Broncos looked other directions for scoring on Sunday against the Jets. But the reason that I am looking to buy low on Sutton are his upcoming matchups. We know that he is an alpha receiver in this Denver offense. We know that Bo Nix loves throwing him the ball. We've seen him succeed time after time with Nix at quarterback, and he's got 3 out of his next 4 games are super soft matchups. He has Dallas, he has the New York Giants, and he has the Las Vegas Raiders, 3 secondaries that he can absolutely exploit. I love Sutton's upcoming matchups. I want him on my team. If I don't already have him, I'm looking to acquire him. Price could vary. You know, this is the week to grab him after he had his second one-catch week of the season. Maybe fantasy managers have cooled on him. Maybe they're ready to find someone slightly less volatile. If I'm in that situation, I'm looking to pounce and snag Cortland Sutton wherever I can get him. At tight end, a buy low at tight end, I'm looking at the Los Angeles Rams' Tyler Higbee. He led the Rams in targets in week 6 after Nacua left the game, and he has been integrated with first read looks with Nacua missing time before. I know I talked about consolidated targets, consolidated touches for the Rams, as we discussed the Nacua injury earlier in the pod, but Higbee is one of those guys that when the Rams are missing a superstar, they get him involved in the game plan. They simplify things for Matthew Stafford by finding Higbee in short yardage, first read situations, getting him the ball and letting him make plays after the catch. So Tyler Higbee is definitely somebody I'm looking at as a potential streaming tight end, as a potential fill-in for, you know, an Njoku injury, something like that. Keep your eyes on the waiver wire for Tyler Higbee. If he is already on a roster, see if you can give him a low ball, a little bit of a low ball offer, and get Higbee for one of your bench wide receivers, one of your depth pieces. And lastly, I know this might not be considered a buy low based on his performance this past week, but this could be the last chance to get this wide receiver on the cheap, and that's Chicago Bears rookie Luther Burden. I think Burden has a chance to blow up after this week. DJ Moore had an injury scare we talked about earlier. Burden was more integrated in the offense this week. It's the second time we've seen him heavily involved. He is a burner. He reminds me a lot of Jameson Williams within that division, where he can just take the top off of defenses. He runs a decent route tree too. So if Williams has time in the pocket and can deliver a good ball, I think Burden can take advantage of it and really break out in the second half of this season. So he's another guy I'm looking to buy low or buy on at cheap prices before he explodes and breaks out. So that does it for our stock down and buy low section. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the guys whose stocks are up and who we might be selling high on after this. Welcome back to Ball Street, the Cubulist Stock Exchange. Before we go any further, I absolutely need you to go check out Cubulist.com, where we have some of the best products in the fantasy football game. One of the things that we put out every week, it's kind of become, you know, a flagship of Cubulist, is what we saw. Our What We Saw column is your weekly shortcut to smarter fantasy football decisions. The Cubulist team of analysts watches every NFL game and goes beyond the box score to deliver the most important observations, actionable contextual insights that shape your next lineup move. Make sure to check us out on Cubulist.com and in the fantasy football subreddit every Monday morning. Don't forget all of our weekly web content, including start sit column, weekly rankings, and all the other great stuff on Cubulist.com. We've expanded the QBL podcast network as well. Jay Felicio does a great job with Sunday Best. Brian Hartman and the crew do an awesome job with their waiver wire show, their weekly forecast. And of course, you have Ball Street, which you're listening to right now. Check us out on YouTube.com at youtube.com/theQBList, where we're posting all of our podcast recordings. And follow us on TikTok, our newest social media platform, at QB_list. Thanks for being a part of the awesome QBList community, and we appreciate you supporting us in our fantasy football endeavors. Let's talk some guys whose stocks have risen this past week, and we have to start at quarterback and none other than New England Patriots quarterback Drake May. May was absolutely outstanding this week. He looked like a seasoned veteran as he picked apart the defense. And one of the most interesting and most fun stats of the week belonged to May. Every time the Patriots passed on first down, they either earned a first down on that series or scored on that series. So they pass on first down and they'd convert the ensuing first down before their downs expired, or they'd score. So Drake May was an outstanding catalyst for the New England offense, and he continues to deliver on the promise that fantasy managers saw in him earlier this year during draft season. And as I pull up his box score, just to give you the stats of how impressive he was against the Saints this past weekend. Drake May, let's see his line. 18 for 26, 261 yards, 3 touchdowns, was sacked just once, a QBR of 92.6. Just outstanding. And add to that 9 rushes for 28 yards. He was absurd. 2 touchdowns to Kayshon Boutte, and 1 more to Pop Douglas. He looks the part of an elite quarterback. You can see the growth happening before our eyes. And he's a guy whose stock has risen quite a bit this season. So Drake May, in 6 weeks, has 4 top 10 QB finishes, including number 2 overall QB in week 6 and number 3 overall QB in week 2. I really like Drake May the rest of the season. His stock continues to rise. He's a must-start quarterback every week. And the Patriots are in first place in the AFC East. So who could have seen that coming? Not this guy in the Discord in week 1. But that's besides the point. At running back, Chicago Bears running back DeAndre Swift looked outstanding in week 6 as he ran roughshod over the Commanders on Monday Night Football. Swift was outstanding in both the running and passing games. He finished with 14 carries and 108 yards on the ground, and then caught 2 of his 3 targets for 67 yards and a passing touchdown, a 55-yard touchdown conversion with a lot of yak. It was fun to watch him. And the thing that I liked most about DeAndre Swift's game on Monday night is that Ben Johnson is playing to Swift's strengths. Instead of just hammering Swift up the middle on traditional handoffs, he was pitching him to the outside. He was running outside zones. He was kind of doing a sprint option out to Swift, getting him on the edges and getting him in space to make plays where you don't really have to worry about his vision, because his running back vision has never really been that good. You only really have to worry about his speed, getting him to the outside, getting him around that sealed edge, and into space where he excels. So I really like that the Bears are playing to Swift's strength. strengths. And if they can continue to do that, I really like DeAndre moving forward for the rest of the season. Ben Johnson has done a great job with running backs in Detroit, looking at David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. They've been outstanding with Johnson as the offensive coordinator there. Now that he's the Bears play caller, I was high on Swift in the preseason. I continue to be high on Swift. Maybe this is confirmation bias talking, but I really like him moving forward the rest of the season. And another guy, I'm not sure his stock could go any higher right now, to be completely honest with you. It's Carolina running back Rico Dowdle. And Dowdle, for the second straight week, posted more than 200 rushing yards as the Carolina Panthers edged out the Dallas Cowboys. It was a revenge game. I'm sorry, he had 200 all-purpose yards, 183 rushing yards on 30 carries, insane volume, and then four catches for 56 yards and a touchdown. Second consecutive week that Dowdle has topped 200 all-purpose yards, and he's just an absolute beast right now. Now, granted, Chuba Hubbard is scheduled to come back for the Panthers, so there is some uncertainty as far as whether that volume will stick. It will not. He will not get 30 carries this week with Chuba Hubbard back. But he may remain as efficient as he has been, maybe even more efficient with fresh legs. Well, who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But Dowdle, his stock is through the roof right now, even with Hubbard on the mend. At wide receiver, we'll stay with Carolina. Tet McMillan finally finds the end zone after all the metrics pointed to it. He pulled in three catches for 29 yards and two touchdowns. He was Bryce Young's favorite red zone target. Granted, the volume of targets wasn't as high as it has been previously as Young spread the ball around to seven different receivers, but encouraging to see him find Tet McMillan in the end zone. Two touchdowns for him against the Cowboys, and hopefully a sign of things to come. McMillan has been a stud so far this season, and we love to see him get paid off with some scores. Now look who's back. Ladd McConkey was elite once again for the Chargers, and it's about time, right? We've been kind of waiting on McConkey after this preseason injury slowed him down. It was very clearly just didn't have the chemistry with Justin Herbert that Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnston had built up through the first 5 weeks of the season. But lo and behold, Quentin Johnston misses against Miami, and Ladd goes for seven catches, 100 yards, and a score. So I guess that's all he needed. I don't know, maybe just to stick him back in that wide receiver two position and get him going again. It's about time, frankly. Ryan Heath, former QBList.com correspondent and now of Fantasy Points, Ryan J underscore Heath on Twitter, shared this stat. Weeks 1 through 5, McConkey had an 18.7% target share and just 9.7 fantasy points per game. In week 6, with QJ out, he had a 23.7% target share and 23 fantasy points. So obviously benefiting from the absence of Quentin Johnston, but maybe this is sustainable. I mean, he had 9 targets, a lot of target volume. He out-targeted Keenan Allen. He outgained Keenan Allen significantly. This is super encouraging for Ladd McConkey managers, and we can only remain hopeful that he continues his success into week 7 and beyond. And at tight end, stock is way, way up for one Harold Fannin Jr. of the Cleveland Browns. We saw David Njoku go down with a knee injury, opening the door for Fannin. I mean, what other weapons do the Browns have, right? If they're going to throw the ball, there's not that much going on for Dylan Gabriel. I mean, Gabriel's average depth of completion or average completion was 4.3 yards on 52 attempts, 29 completions, 221 yards. So he's averaging 4.3 yards per completion. I mean, that screams short yardage. Harold Fannin Jr. is going to be that short yardage tight end for you. 10 targets this past week, trailed only Jerry Jeudy, who had 13. 7 catches for 81 yards. He's been a yak guy in his career, and if the Browns are going to continue targeting these short areas and let their playmakers make plays, I want Harold Fannin on my roster, especially in PPR formats. I think that he can carry you at tight end and be a top 12 guy for the rest of the season if the Browns stick with Gabriel in there, kind of see what we have mentality that they seem to be carrying with Gabriel under center. So we talked about guys whose stock has gone up this past week. Let's discuss some of the ones that we're willing to sell high or looking to sell high. And the first one may surprise you. I know our lead analyst, Jay Felicio, is absolutely in love with this player. Might be his favorite player in the league right now. It's New York Giants running back Cam Scataboo. I would do the face. I would do the sound effect, but I don't think I can do it justice. This guy is absolutely insane. Annie Ager, entertainer, Twitter entertainer, who does those weekly videos of like the coaches' conferences. Love those, by the way. She does a great job. And she called Cam Scataboo Experiment 626. Fantastic analogy. Experiment 626, obviously from the Lilo and Stitch movies, what they called Stitch before they gave him a name. Just an absolute menace and super fun to watch. But I'm selling high on Cam Scataboo. I'm hoping that there are other fantasy managers in my league who want that crazy on their team. So he played 70% of snaps with Tyrone Tracy back in action. He was an absolute monster, don't get me wrong. But he has one of the toughest running back schedules coming up over the next six games. Listen to this absolute gauntlet. Denver, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit. Those are his next six matchups. It's going to be tough, man. If it's not a lack of production, it's going to be game script. The Giants are probably going to be trailing in most of those games. Granted, they did just knock off the Eagles on Thursday Night Football, so maybe I should give them more credit. But if there's somebody in my league who's looking to acquire Scataboo, I'm more than willing to get rid of him for a legit RB2 or maybe even packaging him for an RB1. Can you get Quinshon Judkins or Travis Etienne in return? I'm probably making that deal for either of those guys. But love Scataboo, love his game, love his mentality. But if I can cash in while the volume is, or the value is super high right now, I'm going to do it. At wide receiver, one of the guys that I'm looking to sell high on is Jameson Williams. Williams, six catches, 61 yards and a touchdown against Kansas City Chiefs. That was a good matchup for him. He did it in primetime, so everybody saw it. All of your league managers probably saw him perform in primetime. So now's a great time to put the feelers out on Williams. See if you can get a more consistent flex play, whereas Williams is more of a boom or bust option, mostly bust this year, unfortunately. I'm looking for someone who can level out my production a little bit better, a little bit less volatile. That's just kind of the style that I'm looking for as I build my rosters. So that's what I'm going to market Jameson Williams around the league for in return. And then at tight end, there's a guy who has been outstanding. Don't get me wrong. But his production is kind of coming cheaply. That's Philadelphia Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert. He can't keep getting away with this. These goal line shovel passes cannot continue to work. This is like tush push 2.0 almost, where Jalen Hurts just snaps the ball and just hot potatoes it over to Goddard, and Goddard kind of falls into the end zone. The touchdown variance has to swing away from him, right? Like, Goddard's been absolutely outstanding so far this season. I'm fully counting on A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith to get more involved in the red zone, to get more involved overall. So I think that the touchdown variance will swing away from Goddard. So I'm looking to sell high on him. If I can get something in return, to me, Goddard is still a fringe tight end one. If I can get somebody more firmly entrenched in that top 10 tight end bracket, or even like a top 30 wide receiver running back, I'm definitely doing that. I just don't think that what Goddard's doing is sustainable. I don't think that offensive coordinator in Philly is going to keep his job for too much longer calling plays, which means that this goal line shovel pass could go away as quickly as it started. So we'll see what happens in Philadelphia. I feel like change is coming, especially after the Thursday night blowout. So don't be surprised if Goddard is less involved in the game plan in favor of A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. So before we leave, we'll talk about some guys that whose volume has skyrocketed, but we're looking to buy high or hold, guys that we're definitely not selling on. We'll start at quarterback. And for me, it's Jackson Dart. Dart has obviously, you know, had a meteoric rise so far this season. He's moved from the backup quarterback to the starter. And now I think he's a legit top seven, top eight quarterback on a weekly basis. The rushing floor is real. In his three starts, he's got rushing totals of 54, 55, and 58 yards. He's got two rushing touchdowns in those three games. To me, on the ground, he's a poor man's Justin Fields, but he's got way better arm talent and pocket awareness. And believe it or not, he's got a better team around him. I'm really excited about Jackson Dart rest of season. And if I have him on my rosters, I'm not looking to move him. I'm holding and just enjoying the exciting rookie and his play so far in New York. At running back, Puka Nacua is down. I am all in on Kyren Williams right now. The Los Angeles Rams starting running back has 8 touchdowns in 5 games without Puka Nacua last season, over 20 carries in 3 of those games. The Rams are going to consolidate their touches. They're not going to get these fringe guys, these Tutu Atwells, these Jordan Whittingtons. They're not going to get these guys like super heavily involved with Puka out. You know, there's 10 or 15 opportunities there with Puka's volume. And a lot of it's going to flow through Kyren Williams and Davante Adams, and maybe a little bit of Tyler Higbee. But that's it. They are not going to spread the ball around all of a sudden just because Nacua is out. They're going to continue to consolidate, and Kyren Williams is going to pay off so much while Nacua is out. I'm very high on him the next couple of weeks, and I'm holding for sure. And then at wide receiver, the Atlanta Falcons finally force-fed Drake London. We knew it was coming. And finally, on Monday Night Football, we got to see the dividends. I mean, what, 10 catches for 156 yards and a score? It was just, oh, it was beautiful to watch. You know, probably swung the tides of a lot of fantasy matchups for week 6. And between him and Bijan, that was pretty much the whole offense for Atlanta. The Atlanta offensive line was a major concern in the early weeks of the season, and it looks like they fixed some things over the bye. You know, they look more cohesive, they look more competent, and they kept Michael Penix pretty much clean in the pocket. He was able to deliver strikes down the field, and that's what we want if we're Drake London. We want deep targets, you know, that large A dot that we're used to seeing for London. And you know, if they can keep Penix upright, if they can keep him protected, good things are going to happen for the Falcons and Drake London, and that's something I'm really excited about. I'm holding high on. Well, that does it for Ball Street, the QBList Stock Exchange. My name is Brett Ford. You can find me on Twitter at FadeThatMan. You can find me in the QBList Discord, super active in the Discord, always on the Football General channel. You know, a lot of different channels. I just try to interact with as many people as I can. You guys have made such an awesome fantasy football community to be a part of. I'm so proud to just be involved, and what we're building is awesome. I love it. It's the best community in fantasy football, and I'm super proud to share it with you. Make sure to check us out on Reddit on Monday mornings. The What We Saw column is a lot of what I do here at QB List, putting that together, making sure that, you know, our team of QB List analysts are accessible. We answer as many questions as we can on Reddit throughout the week. So make sure if you have questions, if you saw something that, you know, maybe wasn't covered, or if you saw something that you had a question about, like something in a box score you didn't get a chance to watch the game, ask that question on Reddit, man. We'll answer it, and we'll give you the best insight that we can, for sure. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the week 6 episode of Ball Street. We'll catch you next week. Remember, buy low, sell high. That's business on Ball Street, baby.